right, welcome to episode 43 of Divided by Werewolves. It is March already, halfway through March already. This year is flying by. Soon my kids will be out of school and bothering people at home. I think they need school all year round. I think there just needs to be a
I agree.
This summer I won't be home to yell at them. Now that I'm back to working in an office, so they'll probably enjoy that much more. speaking of which, I had forgotten how much like it sucks to actually have to like drive in to an office. I got so spoiled. Not having to drive. That now that I have to, I was like, how do people do this? This is ridiculous.
Yeah, it sucks.
I mean, it is not fun. Like, just not fun at all. Not even a little bit of fun.
And now, I'm 7 minutes, if the traffic's bad, away from the work, from the hospital. But that I have been of 90 minutes away from the hospital, both directions. So I still hate it, and it's like 7 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's about 40 minutes both ways, and it's one of those things where, unlike a lot of places in Atlanta where one day it could be 20 and the next day it could be 90, it's pretty consistent. So at least there's that. Like, that was always you know, the thing that kind of bugged me about here is that, you know, it was a crapshoot. I'm getting used to it. It's just, you know, when you're used to just, you know, kind of walking from one room to the next, it makes it more.
I'm not responsible enough. I can never be trusted to work home.
Yeah, I really pushed back against it when when the job that I was at the time was like, yeah, we're gonna let people work from home. You can do it once a day, and I was like, eh. I don't know. And then, I got a job where everybody worked from home. And then once I did that, I was like, fuck. So to go back is difficult, but that's okay. Let's see. So you and I have been tearing up monsters, although I think you're tearing them up more than I am. I tend to just I vault over them. I don't know how much I tear them up. I know that I jump over them a lot and overshoot them, and hit them with bugs. But
The switch axe was a revelation. You know, from starting with the great sword, which takes 48 seconds to swing once.
Right.
Basically, I cut that in half with the switch axe. Right. So it's still slow, but you see me all the time get stuck in those damn animations, and I'm hitting nothing, but I can't stop it. Or at least if there's a way, I don't know how.
Right.
So, but yeah, man, all about it.
Yeah, and I'm surprised. I mean, for me, I think the thing about the game I would compare it to is Destiny, just because in terms of like, okay,
same here.
You know, just the structure of it, and I'm always surprised that, you know, when I don't really think like I have anything to do, I still find something to do. Like the other night, I think it was last night, I ended up having like a half an hour before I got back from dog training, and I had like half an hour, and I was like, well, I don't really think any of this stuff that I have to do, I can get done in a half an hour. So instead, you know, let me just respond to an SOS. I mean, what the fuck? And somebody fighting an Ogdoron. And I was like, okay, I've done that. So, you know, I just jumped in and, you know, and just helped them beat it up for, you know, 30 minutes or whatever. And, I didn't even need anything. You know, I have, you know, I have enough armor from that guy to get the bonus. And the other stuff I have, I like the Legiana stuff better anyway. So it was just, you know, kind of like, all right, cool. Let's just do it, you know?
Yep. Yeah, same for me. Like, I totally get the Destiny reference because that's all I'm doing. Like, you know, you and I pretty much do the story stuff together. So when we're not playing, I'm just, like you always say, I'm just trying to make new pants. And I'll kill something new and I'll like that armor set. And so for the next couple of days, I know I'll be killing that fucking thing.
Right, right. And I mean, I'm not as big into that. I guess for me, it's more like I kind of look at the investigations and I go, all right, well, what's something that I feel like I can do and is going to get me like higher level? And maybe it's just a monster I've only fought like once. But I mean, but at the same time, you know, what you don't realize is that sometimes materials are needed for things that you really are nowhere near unlocking at the moment.
Right.
But then you'll find out that you needed stuff. So,
yep.
You know, I'm enjoying it. I still think, I don't know, like once Far Cry comes out next week, mm-hmm. like if in the mornings I'd be able to resist the call or what. But I mean, it's certainly not a bad problem to have when you've got too many things.
No, exactly.
That you want to play.
Far Cry looks fantastic.
And it's only going to get worse at this point.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, there's just a lot of shit.
Well, the thing is, and I was actually looking at the, because I'll go back and compare and stuff a lot of times, and since I actually kept up with last year, it's kind of weird. I feel like, at least for me, I have way more games to play this year at this point than I do movies to watch, whereas last year it was the opposite.
Yeah.
Like, last year, by March, I was like, fuck, man, this is the best year ever, and so far this year, I'm just kind of like, eh. I mean, there's been some decent stuff, but...
Yeah.
You know, we don't have a month where there's, you know, a Wolverine, Kong, Skull Island, you know, right, like all right. these.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like Split, John Wick 2, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like all that stuff kind of hitting. Yeah. No, I feel you. But like you said, at the same time, you know, for games there, it's like, I mean, there's just so much to do right yes. now, and it's only, like I said, it's only gonna get worse. So speaking of movies, I'm not sure either of these are gonna end up on a list of mine by the end of the year. So we have a couple things we're gonna talk about tonight, but first up, you said you watched, in terms of best ofs, there was what was the movie called? Transfiguration.
Yeah. Transfiguration.
Okay.
Which it's, I knew what it was. It's about this kid, this young sort of inner city kid, and he is obsessed with vampires and to the point where he feels like he is one. And the way the movie plays it, it's very slow. Very, it's like if you take a Ty West movie, like House of the Devil, but then there's no payoff.
Oh,
so you've just sat there for almost 2 hours.
Nice. That's always
yeah, fun. It is so fucking slow. And you never know for sure. The whole time you're like, well, is he? Isn't he? Certain things happen that you're like, well, maybe he is. Then other things happen, you're like, no, he can't be. And there's like two scenes where I was just like, oh, shit. Like something actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, it's not a badly shot movie. It looks good. The performances are fine. The kid barely says two words. He just sort of walks around and like he's known as a freak because he's like he has these therapy sessions because he did some shit to some animals or whatever and things like this. And he keeps up with the knights that he kills. He kills like homeless people and things like that and does drink their blood. And so he kind of keeps up with when he does his hunting and whatnot. But he meets this girl and falls in love with her and sort of things sort of are complicated and all this and that. And that's it. You know, he just sort of walks a lot and doesn't say much. So
that sounds awesome.
It did not make, I did not have to redo my list. Yeah.
You know, it's funny because when you mentioned it, I remember seeing like on Amazon or not Amazon, Netflix.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
In there, and I was like, all right, I don't know what this is. And so that's interesting that, you actually watched it.
Yeah, and I wanted to like it. I really did because like the kid's name is Martin, which is obviously, you know, the Romero vampire flick about the little boy vampire or whatever. There's so many references to other vampire movies. Like the people who made this clearly like, and then he even says, like they make fun of Twilight and the girl's like, oh, you like vampires, you love Twilight. And he's like, it just doesn't look realistic. It doesn't look realistic. And like, he sees shit like Near Dark and 30 Days of Night, and they reference like Fright Night. He's like, those are realistic. So like, so hey, if kid. He likes them, yeah, if he likes the vampires and they're like the scary ones, then they're realistic. But Twilight, right. That was not realistic at all.
Right.
He was having none of it.
Right. Right. Aside from the fact that they're just poorly done movies.
Yeah. But,
yeah. Okay. Interesting. All right. So we have a couple others that we're going to get into that we both actually watched. And the first, which one do you want to do first?
I have a feeling we will both have less to say about Mohawk than the other.
Okay.
You want to do that one?
Sure. So Mohawk is, I guess it's an independent historical, I don't know what it was trying to be. Drama, horror, I guess, maybe. I'm not sure what you would call it.
Yeah. Drama. Yeah. I would say drama.
So it's essentially
just a gory drama. If that
makes sense. Yeah. It's set in the early 1800s. And this British guy is essentially trying to convince, this Mohawk guy and his sister that their tribe should accept his help because they're going to get butchered by the Americans, in a war of, I think 1812 is happening and whatnot. I don't know. I don't know enough about history, so I probably just shouldn't say anything at all.
It's the war of 1812. Yeah.
And so, well, cause it was like 1817 or something.
Yeah. Apparently it was supposed to be set towards the end of the war though.
Okay. So, for various reasons, the tribe there, says no. And then Americans show up and, do bad things to them. And then, the British guy and the Mohawk girl basically try to like get away, and end up being chased by the Americans and then, kind of somewhat turn the tables on them. And you know, I think it was an interesting premise. Mm-hmm. It's just that I would have liked the movie to be made by just a better overall group of people.
Yeah, and we'll see. And the only reason why this is on my radar at all is because it's from the guy that directed We Are Still Here. And that movie's fantastic.
Right.
And oh, I didn't realize it that. Looks – yeah, same writer, director.
Huh.
So it's like – that's the only reason I was interested in it because I love We Are Still Here. That's a fantastic movie. Mm-hmm. It's shot well. It's fucking creepy as shit. Like there's good effects. And not the effects in this one are bad. They're actually really good. It's practical gore and it looks fine, but it's just something about the way it's shot. It looks so.
It looked very
like you said,
community indie theater.
It's, yeah,
but not no. Like, I don't even know if I would say it looked indie because I think indie independent movies look good. This movie looked almost like
homemade.
Homemade, yeah. Like even her the Mohawk woman, her costume, I was like, that looks like something
I know,
like my, you know, you put together with stuff you bought at Joann's Fabrics. Like that doesn't look,
right.
You know, that doesn't look like a
I know,
and I don't know what an authentic costume would look like if this just looked kind of cheap, you know, like
it looked like a Halloween costume,
yeah,
essentially. But I mean, and that was like hers, but like most of the others I thought were fine. You know, the soldiers and whatnot, they looked fine. And,
yeah.
But it's just, it's weird. I don't know if they used a lot of natural light. So they, or what kind of camera they used. It was just something about the way it looked. It just, and I was really shocked actually, cause I thought, man, this is going to be good. Mm-hmm. You know, I like the poster for it. I love the director or I loved his last movie at least. And I don't know, man.
But it's even the poster was somewhat misleading because they led you to believe that guy was a much greater focus of the movie than he actually ended up being.
Oh, that's the girls on the poster that I saw.
Oh, I thought I saw with the guy with the black under her brother.
Oh, okay.
I must be thinking of like a still or something in a review. But I mean, it was just everything and everything about it. It's not just like you could point to one thing, like all of it I thought was just kind of blah. Like the performances I thought kind of sucked, the motivations of the Americans. It was basically just like, well, and I'm not saying that people who were back then and were trying to murder Native Americans had like these deep, you know, motivations. Yeah. But at the same time, it just, I don't know. They didn't give you, any reason. Like the American soldiers were just, they just were bad. That's it. They just were bad. And they were either like evil or cowards. And so you couldn't even like, they didn't try to make them interesting in any way. And I'm not saying that you have to make it so that you sympathize with them or can understand what they were doing. But I mean, they should at least be interesting other than just a generic, like, okay, well, that guy, you know, he's mad because his son died. But his son was an asshole, so he deserved it anyway. And then you know, everybody else is just, you know, they're just scared of getting killed or whatnot. You know, you need more than that.
I like the one guy. I think his name was like Lachlan or something like that. The big guy with the beard.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
I liked him well enough. The only reason, and I only know who that is. He's apparently a wrestler, which I don't watch wrestling, but he showed up and played in the Madden tournament on Up Up Down Down on YouTube. The wrestler, Austin Creed, has that YouTube channel. And he was the nicest dude. Like, he had no idea what he was doing, but there's this big guy with this big ass beard sitting there taking ass with him, but he's laughing the whole time about how much fun it is.
Right.
And so when I saw him, I was like, oh, shit, that's that wrestler. So, and that's probably played a part in me liking him. Yeah. But like, I was rooting for him to at least not die. I thought maybe he'd like run away or come to his senses. And, you know, he came the closest, I guess. But
yeah. And then it just, you know, kind of, I don't know. I wasn't disappointed because I hadn't read too many good things about it. But I thought, well, you know, I might still like it. So,
yeah. I knew it. Well, it's weird. Metacritic is pretty good on it, surprises me. Yeah, it's like 71 or something, or like 70 maybe. I don't remember. But when I looked, I was like, oh, shit. But yeah, no. I don't know who. That must have been like the crew. That
fake news.
Yeah. But yeah, coming from – and I won't even attempt to say the guy's name. I'll just call him Ted because I don't know how to say G-E-O-G-H-E-G-A-N.
Gagagagan.
So – yeah, yeah. So, Ted Genuine. That's his name. Like, but yeah, I loved We Are Still Here, and this one was a definite leap down, not even a step.
Yeah, yeah. Which is disappointing, but oh well. And let's see. I'm trying to think if there's anything kind of like it to give people a frame of reference. It's not really like a Western, and it's not like a horror movie. I don't know. It's
just, imagine maybe if you like Bone Tomahawk.
Oh, no, no.
And then hold on. And then you, not being a filmmaker, decided to make your own version of Bone Tomahawk.
Yeah. With nothing supernatural in it. Just asshole soldiers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the one guy was supernatural, the thing that she kept having the vision, seeing that thing with the deer skull on its head.
I thought that was just like – that wasn't like an actual thing. I mean, that was just kind of like her – like just a vision, like not like it was actually there because then she ended up dressing up like it or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I know, but still, if she has something that's giving her visions of the future, I mean, it's not necessarily supernatural, but it's not also – I don't know.
Yeah.
It looked cool.
Yeah, I mean that was kind of the only thing that I think was cool. And then it took so long to get to that point, you know, that by then you were just like, all right, whatever.
That's another thing. It was, 90 minutes and it felt like 2 hours? Like it just would not stop. Yeah.
Yeah.
It had decent gore in it, I thought.
Yeah, yes. I would agree. All right. So we're just going to sell a lot of Netflix subscriptions with this show tonight. So the next movie, also on Netflix, and this one was done by what's his name?
Is it Paco Plaza?
Paco Plaza, yeah. So the guy who did Wreck and Wreck 2 and Wreck 3, 3D or whatever the fuck it's called. And that is, I guess, I would say it's called Veronica. That's what I'm going to call it. Unless, it, I mean, there might be a, there might be a, a more Spanish pronunciation of it, but I'm calling it Veronica.
Same here.
And so I don't know if this is one that, you know, was released in theaters and, or went straight to Netflix or what. I have no idea. But it's about this girl named Veronica who is essentially in charge of all of her siblings and decides on the day of a solar eclipse to try to do a seance to contact her father who passed away at some point in the recently in the past. I'm not sure exactly when. And, you know, anytime seances and eclipses, are involved, it, it goes about as well as you might hope. And, then it kind of becomes one of these things where you're not really sure, what's going on. If it's a situation where she is actually possessed or there's something is kind of coming after her, or she's just kind of somewhat still traumatized by the death of her dad and her mom is not around at all because they, she runs a restaurant. And this girl is just kind of not making it up, but, you know, just, I don't know, maybe have a bit of a break. And then it, it kind of goes from there, but it also has a bit of a kind of found footage vein to it as well, because, you know, it, it, it starts off with the police responding to a call at the girl's place, and then they say, you know, oh, this is like written from the detective's account of, you know, kind of what happened or whatever. So all right, so so I'm gonna I'd like to hear your thoughts on it first.
Okay. Well, it's another one that I was sort of disappointed with, and not just for the not just because of the fact that this is the one, and there's speculation that it's paid for paid press, but apparently several sites are saying that people have been turning it off. It's the scariest thing they've ever seen. They can't make it through it, blah, blah, blah.
What?
So,
are you serious?
Yep, yep. It's speculated that it was paid for at this point, but yeah, because after it hit Netflix and people actually started watching it, everybody's like, really? No, that can't be true.
I don't even know what I don't, what part would be that you couldn't turn it off.
I have no idea. But so I had heard that going in, which I knew that's fine, because most of the time when you hear shit like that, I'm like, well, yeah, that's if you show it to somebody who's never seen a horror movie or maybe a toddler, you know, they'd want you to turn it off. But
well,
most
you know,
of this shit doesn't bother me.
Me neither. And it's funny. I was talking to my wife about that because she works with this guy, and his wife is a veterinarian, and she went to vet school in England. And I said, oh, you need to ask ask him to ask his wife if they do hazing in vet school, because, you know,
yeah, right.
And you know, because I was talking about Raw and I was telling her about the movie, and she's like, and I said, you know, like they can always watch it if they want to see. And she's like, well, is it like a really scary horror movie? And I said, well, here's the thing. I said, if you were to read reviews when it came out in the festivals, they would tell you this was like fucking disturbing and all whatever, terrifying and whatnot. I said, but that's the festival crowd. Like they're not kind of used to seeing horror movies.
Right.
You know, I thought it was great. The movie, you know, I think it's a fantastic movie, but was I disturbed and grossed out and everything by it? No. You know, there's some scenes where you're like, oh, shit. You know, but that's it. I said, but yet, you know, if you had somebody who doesn't ever watch horror movies and then you're like, hey, this is a cannibal, you know what I mean? You kind of basically, you know, tell them it's a cannibal movie, then already they're probably going to be kind of weirded out. And so when you had told me before about that, that people were saying, oh, it was the scariest thing. I just assumed that was like not like a festival crowd, but not necessarily the horror consuming public.
Right. Right. And again, I don't know where all this came from. I just sort of was reading it in various places online. I don't know where it started, But anyway, yeah, it's, you know, and then it's like, all right. And then, of course, everybody always has to say it's the scariest thing, it's the Exorcist, whatever. So I was excited about, you know, because fuck, that movie's not even scary.
It makes me laugh that that is still like, I don't even know. That's not a bet. Like, I mean, I get freaked out by The Exorcist, but I've seen a ton of, even when I saw The Exorcist, I had seen scarier movies than The Exorcist. So for that to still be like the thing that people say, like, unless it's just like a joke at this point, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't even know why you would as a benchmark.
You know, the scariest fucking movie in the world to me is still Jaws. I can't, that movie fucks with me to this day. It's my second favorite movie of all time, but it fucking terrifies me.
My wife won't watch it. She watched it as a kid. And then she was terrified to take a shower because she thought Jaws was going to come out of the shower head.
Yep. Dude, so, I won't even put my feet on the floor when I watch it. I sit on the couch, Indian style, if I watch it.
Yeah, so she got traumatized by Jaws at a young age.
Yeah, so did I. We have that in common. But anyway, so back to Veronica. I really like Paco Plaza because he's the one who did Rec 3. And aside from Rec 1, I feel like Rec 3 is the only good Rec movie.
I haven't seen it.
Well, all right. So the first one is pretty good. It's your standard zombie found footage sort of movie or whatever. It's just one of the first ones, and it's pretty well done. So everybody's like, oh, shit, scary as fuck. It's really not all that scary to me, but it's just a really good found footage zombie flick. Second one was more action oriented, I think, and not nearly as good. But then three, so they split. So Paco did 3, and the other guy did 4. 4 is terrible. Mm-hmm. 3 is just batshit insane. So the first two are really dark. You can hardly see shit. A lot of it's shot with night vision on the first one. Like, a lot of it's, you know, green. This one takes place at a wedding. Everything is white. And when the shit goes down and blood starts like flying, and this is fucking like, this is like almost brain dead level gore, like Dead Alive level gore. Like, there is shit flying every fucking where. There's chainsaws and all the bride gets a chainsaw at one point and shit. And it's just dismemberment, and it is fucking nuts. And I love it. So I was really excited for this movie. So I read the stupid bullshit, and I'm like, nah, I'm not paying that any attention. I just want to enjoy the movie. I hope it's really good. And it disappointed me in that, like you said, you don't really know what's going on for most of it. And then it's sort of disappointing that it ends up being another of these dime a dozen Conjuring knockoffs, or, you know what I mean? Like these new ghost movies, because of James Wan, everybody has to, we're all doing that now. And it's not the worst done one. It's fine. It's okay. But it's just not what I hoped it would be.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest concern with it was that I didn't feel like that it had enough. I felt like it was trying to like be different things. It was trying I don't know the right way to say it. Like, I felt like it needed to go with something and stick with it. And it just seemed kind of unwilling, almost unwilling to do that. Like, I would have preferred that they either went with the, no, she made it all up. She's actually like, you know, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Mm-hmm. Or that she was, you know, and like was kind of hurting these kids, because they make it seem like at some point she's afraid. She thinks one of her sisters is getting attacked by this spirit who came through when they did the seance, and so the spirit was like choking the girl, and so she kind of wakes the girl up, and the girl's like, what are you doing? Why are you, you know, basically saying like, why are you choking me? And she's like, oh, I wasn't choking you. Like, it was the, you know, it was the spirit or whatever. I'll keep you safe. And then later on, they make it seem like, no, maybe she was the one choking her. But then they went back to, no, I think there definitely is a spirit, you know, just like they go, like, oh, or maybe the spirit was in her and she was possessed and evil. And then you're like, well, right. No, it seemed like it was kind of trying to be, but it wasn't. And what I wanted them to do is stick with something.
Yeah.
Is have the you know, almost like kind of the courage of their conviction, so to speak, and go with something somewhat darker. Because
yeah. I don't know. I feel like there's so much wasted potential because, like, my favorite character, one of my favorite characters, at least in the movie, and I didn't have a whole lot, was Sister Death or whatever, like the blind nun.
Blind nun, yeah.
Who could, like, see evil and shit. And she kept telling her, hey, it's with you. Hey, there's evil.
Right.
And then the movie was like, but is there? And I'm like, well, Sister Death seems to think so.
Right, like, right. Why, yeah, she's
pretty clear. Who are we supposed to trust here? She seems like she knows her shit. So.
Right. Right. And so what ended up happening is it was just very kind of weak. You know, it was like the end, the girl, I think there was something going on. And she ended up dying as a result of it, but kind of saving her family, I guess. And I guess that's a more – like I'm not trying to like traumatize this girl just for the sake of drama. But they threw all of these things out and you're like, well, I don't even understand then what it ended up being because she kind of had – visions of maybe she was the one doing it. So I'm assuming that was right. To mean that she was kind of thinking it over in her head going, well, shit, was that me? But then,
right. You
know, the like you said, the Sister Death there was like, no, it's in you. You brought it over. So then you're like, well, wait a minute. Was she doing it and she was possessed or was she never doing it at all? Because at the end, it looked like the spirit thing was trying to possess her. So because they didn't like stick with anything, I ended up not really knowing what it was kind of what it was saying, and then I just kind of stopped caring.
Yeah, like I was gonna go back because you know they show those photos like from the locations.
Yeah,
at the end, and I was like, "Well, is this based on real shit or what is?"
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of lost interest. I was just like, "Meh."
Well, that's the other thing. They're like, you know, well, the police. So what ends up happening, and I'm not, you know, whatever, spoilers, whatnot.
Yeah.
So when the cops come, the girl goes back. She thinks she's carrying her brother in her arms when she's leading her other younger siblings out, but they of the building. And then – but when she gets to the front doors, which are all glass, she looks in the reflection and she sees that she's not actually carrying her brother. So she's like, all right, I gotta go back and get him. And then that's when other stuff starts happening and she's like slamming – she's like remembering about them saying that it's in her and she's like slamming her head against the mirror. And then it looks like she's going to like cut her own throat, but she didn't. And then so she sees what this – looks like this kind of tar-covered guy like holding her and then sticking – trying to like shove his hand down her throat. And that's when the cops come in and they see her somewhat bent over backwards with her mouth open.
Yeah,
looking like she's being supported by something, but
she's in the Matrix.
They can't see the spirit thing, so they don't know what it is. And apparently, that was disturbing enough to where all the cops, like the guy, faked his report, and then all the cops quit. Yeah. And I was like, "What?" Like, I just didn't get it. I really didn't understand like what exactly. And then she dies, and she doesn't like. I don't know. I didn't understand what the fuck was happening. But also like there was other stuff like her friends, they got freaked out by her. So they stopped hanging out with her because she told them you're going to die. And I'm like, I don't get it.
I didn't either.
It's disappointing just because like, I felt like the premise was decent. You know, it was one of those things where, you know, this girl has got a lot. She's got a lot on her shoulders. She's being asked by her mom to do everything. Essentially, she even tries to talk to her mom at one point, like, hey, and her mom's just like, no, we can't talk now because she's got whatever customers. And, you know, she misses her dad, and her mom looks like, it seems like her mom probably looks like she kind of put a lot of the stuff away. And so she's, the girl is, Veronica is taking it to mean that her mom's like moved on, but, you know, it could just be, this is how the mom chose to kind of handle it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, then you go, all right, well, you know, she's not troubled, but she's just having a rough time. And then she does the supernatural thing, and that definitely went a little nutso.
Yeah.
You know, so then, okay, what is it? And, you know, kind of up until that point, I just was like, all right, you know, it wasn't anything particularly scary, but it was creepy enough. And I was like, all right, well, I'd kind of like to see, you know, what's happening. But then as it went on.
Oh, yeah. I was interested enough to keep watching it. I was into it. I just, like you said, it's one of those things where it's never really clear, and you don't get that in the end either.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think also it's not just the clarity. It's the, I just felt like they wanted to set up all of these dark possibilities, and they tried to commit to them enough to get the viewer to think that it was a real possibility. Which I don't think they were very successful in doing. And then have it turn out that, oh, no, it turns out that wasn't the case. And so it ended up just being somewhat like never fully believed in what they were trying to sell you. Mm-mm. So it just ended up coming off like almost like they were indecisive. That was the feeling I got. Not that they were, you know, and maybe that they were trying to make you believe one thing, and then it ends up not being that. But that's not how it came off.
Yeah. Apparently, it is based on true events. I just looked it up.
Like actually on true events, or like Blair Witch true events?
This movie is based on the events that involved Estefania Gutierrez Lazaro and her family, happened in 1991. 18-year-olds playing with a Ouija board. 6 months after first playing, shit started going down. It says paranormal activity increased after her death. Only one report was filed by the Spanish police.
Huh. But I mean, that doesn't. I don't even know, what does that even mean.
Like, I know. There was a Ouija board in the house, and somebody died. So
right, exactly. Like right. I mean, I think yeah. I think that's. Probably safe to say that if somebody died and a Ouija board was in the house, that they would go, yeah, you know, maybe this is something. Yeah. I mean, right, like in the news, they would say, you know, there is an occult connection, right?
Oh, sure, right.
That's what they would say.
Yeah.
Not that it actually meant anything, but that's what they would say. But yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense. And that was the only. That was the other thing. I'm glad to hear though that it was, like, I feel like nowadays the '90s is kind of the time to make some of these more independent, like, horror movies, or because you don't have the internet or cell phones,
right?
So many of these things fall apart if somebody could just like. Pick up a phone and be like, hey, you know, or look something up online or text someone. And sometimes I feel like the people making the movie put the movies in these time periods because they just don't want to be bothered to figure out how to make it airtight and not have to worry about technology, as opposed to sometimes just thematically that just happens to be kind of what they're going for. And I guess in this case, if that's when it happened in real life, that makes sense. But I honestly thought that they were doing it that way just because they didn't want to have to deal with explaining, like why people still believed all this shit or why the movie ended up going the way that it did when, if somebody had a phone, they could have, you know, taking care of a lot of this shit. Because I mean, it's just like now. Like, when was the last time anybody said they saw Bigfoot? you know, or the Loch Ness Monster, or, you know, all right. these things that when you and I were kids and they would have, like, you know, In Search Of, or, you know, Ripley's Believe It or Not, you know, all this stuff.
Like,
you know, and you're like,
sit up for 2 hours watching a special about fucking nothing.
Right, exactly. Right. Like, that was, you know, pre-internet. Like, nowadays, like, if there was a chupacabra, somebody would have, like, Snapchatted that shit. They'd have a selfie with it. You know, same thing. If somebody, if Bigfoot was around, or Loch Ness Monster, any of that stuff. And so, you know, it definitely makes it easier to make a horror movie set in the past. But I would think it also would make it harder because, I mean, 1991, that's, you know, that's 26 years ago. So getting cars and all that shit, and that's starting to get, I would think, more and more difficult.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I was disappointed. I hadn't heard too much about it, but, you know, you always kind of want things to be good.
Sure. I wanted both of these to be good.
Honestly, Mohawk, I didn't really care. I had already read something about it where they said it was just kind of okay. So I was like, all right, you know, whatever. What I was hoping is that it was like a Bone Tomahawk kind of thing. Because I love that movie, and I was hoping there was some, like, supernatural bent to it. And then, you know, when it started off, and I just was like, why are they dressed? Like, did they just – leave a community theater production? And then nothing kind of supernatural happened, and I was like, well, what the fuck? Like, yeah. So, but, you know, the thing is, I have no idea what the new thing is, like the new, whatever, the latest horror thing that everybody's talking about. I get that from you.
Well, it's not Mohawk. I can tell you that one was all me. It was just based on that director.
Yeah. So what is, like, is there something kind of on the horizon that cause I know, like, at this time last year, I know you and I, like, I think Raw was the one that we were waiting for. And I don't, I just don't know of anything. Like,
right,
I
know
John Krasinski made a horror movie.
That's the one I was about to say.
I'm be curious.
It has done very well. Very well at the Southwest.
Yeah, the one review I read, they said that they said it was okay, but then it got better. Like there was some stuff that it's almost like halfway through the movie he kind of realized what his strengths were, and he just kind of started playing to those.
That one and Hereditary are the two upcoming that I
do. I don't think I know which one is
that I can think of off the top of my head. It's got it's like a Conjuring type of movie, I think.
Your favorite.
But I don't know. I mean, I've seen like one trailer. It looked good. I don't know. Like, I'm just interested in it because the trailer looked good.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think most of the times, like, I don't see. I just don't even know where to, like, I know there's a lot of horror YouTube channels out there, but I typically don't watch like YouTube stuff. So, like, I wouldn't even know where to go to see some of these trailers. Cause if I like watch a movie and like at home and there's trailers, I just skip past them. I don't even care.
Yeah. I usually do too, because I've already seen them all on YouTube.
Right.
That's where I see most of the trailers that I see, because I watch YouTube all day. So that, and then there's, you know, like you said, I follow horror channels, and sometimes they turn me on to shit, and sometimes I've already seen it, but I like to hear what they have to say about it.
Right.
But I've seen nobody talk about Mohawk. I knew it was a new one from the guy. So,
well, actually, I'd read something in the AV Club, and and they had talked about it, and they were like, yeah, it's okay. But even just from a mainstream movie, I think for me, probably, and I know not for you, but, you know, the next thing is Infinity War. Beyond that, I have no idea. I'd like to.
When is Infinity War?
It's April 27th.
April.
Yeah.
We got Pacific Rim before that.
Yes. Yeah. And but here's the thing. Like, I love the first one, but I don't know if I consider it a good movie. And I think it's because Charlie Hunnam is just
so
boring in it. Like,
he is bad.
I mean, like there's a lot of stuff about the movie that I like, but it almost seems in spite of the movie itself. There's a lot of it to me that doesn't click, but the stuff that ends up clicking, I almost feel like it had so much that it had to overcome in order to work. And if you don't like your lead, like if he's just has no charisma, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like, that's a lot to get past.
I have theories, but I'd like to wait until after we see the new one before I go into that. On Pacific Rim, the first one.
Oh, okay.
I think some of the performances are intentional, but we'll get into that. Yeah, I do.
Because I've seen, did you watch Sons of Anarchy?
Mm-hmm.
Because he wasn't great in that either. I mean, he wasn't.
He wasn't the only one that wasn't great in Pacific Rim. Despite there being people in it.
That is true. But Charlie Hunnam, my understanding is that Lost City of Z, he's fantastic. And I just haven't watched it yet.
I haven't either.
I've heard he is really, really good in that movie. So it could just be that. And there was – what was the movie he was going to be in and then he dropped out because it was going to mess with his shooting schedule for Sons of Anarchy. And then the movie ended up like completely tanking and they were like, ooh, good job. I'm trying to remember what that was. I can't remember. But it was a big kind of tentpole type of movie. And he was slated to be in it. And then
50 Shades.
That's what it was. That's what it was. It made a ton of money, but I have you ever seen any one of those?
God no.
Yeah. I haven't.
If I want to watch porn, I'll watch it on the internet like everybody else.
Well, that's the thing. I heard like for movies that are supposed to be about sex, they are like deeply unsexy. Like they're just
right.
But I think and that's the thing. So I only know the woman in those movies because she was in a fantastic sitcom with Nat Faxon. I think it was on Fox, and it was and she played his sister, and she was great, and the show was great, but like Fox always does, they canceled it.
Who's in it?
Huh? Say that again.
I said I don't even know who the hell the woman is. I just looked her up. Let's see. I didn't even know who it was. Dakota Johnson.
Yeah, she's Don Johnson's. Don Johnson and Melanie Griffith's daughter.
Okay. I've seen her in something, but if I could find out what it was.
The guy who was in the 50 Shades movies, I couldn't tell you who he is.
I have no idea.
He could walk into my home and I would have no idea who he is. So from like a star making perspective, it is interesting how sometimes movies that hit it big make stars.
Yeah.
And then other times movies that hit it big simply don't. But the reality is I think for those movies, you could have had any attractive guy and any attractive girl and the movie would have been just fine. Like it didn't need those two. And good for them if they got paid for it. But I don't think like either one of them is going to be able to take their, incredibly exciting performances in the 50 Shades movies and turn it into something that all of America ends up falling in love with. Like I said, I don't even know who the guy is. He just looks like another kind of generic chiseled white guy.
Yeah. Yep.
And like I said, I only know her because of the show she had been on before. I don't even know if she's done anything other than the 50 Shade movies since then.
She's in the Suspiria remake, apparently.
Oh.
So. Which I've heard is good. I don't know. We'll see.
But it's weird what ends up. And kind of what ends up turning a star into somebody bigger, like a small role or a movie that blows up. Because, you know, I think those movies, they definitely had a wide audience based on the books.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's been plenty of adaptations that of books that had like that did big numbers that really didn't end up kind of blowing up at the box office, like Gone Girl. I love that movie because I love David Fincher, and I love Carrie Coon, and I like Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike. I like everybody in that movie. The movie itself, it's okay. I mean, it certainly doesn't help if you've read the book.
Because,
you know, kind of the surprise is gone. But, you know, as a movie itself, it's fine. And that was a book that did huge numbers. The movie itself was just okay. Like Girl on the Train, that book blew up. And that movie, again, it was just kind of okay. And it had good people in it, too. So, I know that the 50 Shades movies, they probably had a built-in audience. But it's weird how, like, the people who are in it, it just, you know, whatever. They're kind of in that, and that's it.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, I remember vividly when the first one came out.
Yeah.
I didn't know shit when the other two. I didn't even know there was a third one. Like this. Like they're not even mentioned because they don't live up to the books, I guess, or to everybody's expectations.
Which are supposedly terrible, though.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, I mean, like same thing with any piece of pop culture. Something doesn't have to be good to be popular.
Right.
And from my understanding, those books are terrible. Same way that the Twilight books are terrible.
Right.
I mean, they just are. They're poorly written. They have some kind of bad messages, and they're just bad. But they sell a lot because people like them. So I read a lot of stuff that's shit. That, you know, just because people read something doesn't mean it's any good. Yeah, it's I wonder, you know, like I wonder if there is if like the reason that those movies didn't do better and the people who were in them didn't kind of break out more is simply because those movies had a built-in audience in the people who read the book, and that is all they were going for.
Yeah.
They went, these books sold a shit ton of copies. If every person who bought a copy of the book bought a ticket, we're going to make back the money because I can't imagine they cost very much to make. And so that's it. We don't care about kind of crossing over to like blowing up in a mainstream. Like maybe if somebody, you know, brings a friend, that's great, but that's it. And so that's why something like that, you know, doesn't do better. But yet if you look at like Michael B. Jordan, who's already been in some fantastic movies, and then you kind of see what he did in Black Panther and you go, okay, that cat's going to be everywhere now.
Yep.
You know, because that was a movie that could appeal to a much wider share of people. And they put the spotlight on this guy and really kind of highlighted, you know, what he's capable of, but
who knows?
You can be like, I knew him from Creed.
No. That's the guy that was in Fantastic Four. Live to tell about it.
Yeah, him and I want like a special feature of him and Chris Evans just like sitting down and talking about what it was like to be Johnny Storm.
That would be great.
Yeah. I had forgotten all about that movie. That movie was terrible.
Terrible. Yep.
I remember when I was reading about it and they you know, one of the reviews I read and people were, because, I mean, sometimes when you read reviews and you're like, it can't be that bad. And then they said that, like, the Ben Grimm there, that his catchphrase, it's clobbering time, was from when his brother used to beat the shit out of him. I was like, that can't be right. Like, that – why would – that makes no sense. And then I watched it. I was like, oh, shit.
Yep.
This is entirely as bad. Like I mean, the first Fantastic Four, like, you know, the Mr. Fantastic doing the stretchy arm thing to get toilet paper, like that was bad, but that was not nearly as bad as whatever the hell it is they were trying to do with this.
Mm-mm. Even as bad as they ruined Dr. Doom in the first one, it was nowhere near as bad as the new one.
Yeah. Which you just wouldn't think it would be difficult
to
tell a good Fantastic Four story.
Right. Like,
you just wouldn't think it would be hard.
Well, apparently it's not. I mean, there's no Fantastic Four comic right now, so apparently it's harder than we think.
Well, that's all licensing stuff, though.
I mean, for a comic book, though?
Yeah, because I think what it is that if I think there's some – they don't – like Marvel doesn't want 20th Century Fox to make more Fantastic Four movies.
Oh, okay.
So it has something to do with – I don't know of how the licensing works out in terms of the relationship between the comic and the movie. But yeah, that's basically – I think they wanted to get the rights back, and 20th Century Fox was like, oh, gotcha. No, we're fucking it up perfectly fine on our own thing, right? Pretty much. And yeah. So Marvel, you know, as a whole was just like, okay, fine, then we're just not going to do comics. And then, I mean, good luck at that point, right? Like, you're not going to get the core fans because there's no book for people to read. That was my understanding. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, it makes sense. But,
oh well. All right. So, next show, we should have Pacific Rim and mm-hmm. Annihilation.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have that one as well. And probably some Far Cry first impressions at the very least, because by the time it comes out, and then we do the thing with the thing. But anyway, of course, you can always watch us stream. Most nights we're beating up monsters at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Twitch channels. And then, of course, we do Drunk Watch Fridays at 10. And you can always watch our past streams on the Twitch channel, and follow us on Twitter, and that way you know kind of what's going on. But we appreciate you hanging out with us tonight. We hope you have a great rest of your – well, tonight it's what, Thursday?
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
This week has taken forever. And we hope whatever we're talking about in the next couple of weeks that you're here with us. So for myself and Mitch, this has been episode 42 of Divided by Werewolves. So thank you, good night, and have a good evening.